The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, as Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." This is the gospel of our Lord. Mary and Martha. Right away, we tend to go to that dualism. Good or bad, wrong or right, black or white. This past week, as I considered this story, I saw some commentaries that pointed out that while we sometimes give Martha a bad rap for being so busy, there's an argument made that perhaps they were actually running a house church, which Jesus was then visiting. Does that change the interpretation at all? Perhaps. I can imagine an usher cleaning up after a very crowded church service, looking over at the other usher and wondering why the usher isn't getting to work helping with all of the mess. We can imagine this, yes? I can also see other commentaries that mention that Mary may have been disabled or ill in some way. She is sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening, perhaps out of necessity. Maybe she couldn't do anything else. When we look at it in this light, it makes Martha seem even worse of a person for asking this question. "Jesus, tell my sister to help me." What a rude thing to say in front of a guest, as Jesus definitely was. It is possible as well that Mary was acting as a guest would. Entertaining. After all, it is rude to leave one's guest by his or herself as you attend to all of the chores and cleaning up. Isn't that better to be like, again, that good, bad, wrong, right, black or white? When really the answer is somewhere in the gray. We are both Mary and Martha as humans, and indeed as Christians, a little bit of both. At some times we need to work hard like Martha, and at other times we need to sit and listen like Mary. I had a good chance to think about this week. I realized last Sunday that as I was getting ready for worship over at Cross of Glory, the other church in our parish, one of the people, Bob, he allowed me to use his name, by the way. He said that was fine. He said, "Oh, pretty busy this morning, huh, Pastor?" And I realized I must look like I'm really rushed and hurried. And I thought, as I was preparing for this week, you know, Monday morning after looking back at Sunday, I remember thinking, of course I had a Martha-looking morning on Sunday because the rest of the week had been spent visiting, sitting as Mary did at others' feet, listening to people in their difficulties, quietly helping them as I could, but not looking very busy. Being a listener and being quiet and discerning and figuring things out, having a Mary sort of week makes me look like Martha on a Sunday morning. On the flip side, if I have a Martha sort of a week where I'm busy, Then often on Sundays, I can relax and coast a little bit, and I probably look a little bit more as Mary did in this particular story. Well, imagine my surprise after working 3 days into a Martha sort of week. I added up the hours, and I had worked 26 hours between Sunday and Tuesday. This is not a normal thing. It's because we had two council meetings, Monday and Tuesday, right in a row. That doesn't usually happen. But late Tuesday night, early Wednesday morning, I hit my head on a table while my children slept. And the pain was so immense, but I could not even bring myself down the stairway to get to an ice pack. I ended up falling asleep in another bed, in another bedroom, away from my children who had crowded the bed I was in. And I slept all the way through the night until it was time to bring my kids to their childcare in the morning. Imagine my surprise that even though I was in immense pain, that the Advil couldn't even touch, I made it through almost all of the day on Wednesday without too much issue, or at least no issue that I myself could see. I made it through pastor's text study. I made it to some appointments. I was making appointments with other people. But then after 2 hours of straight computer work toward the end of my day on Wednesday, sitting in my Cross of Glory office, I stood up and imagined my surprise when I nearly fainted. I walked in to the other room where the folks were gathering donations for the jumbo sale, and I thought I better mention to them that I wasn't feeling quite well. They encouraged me to go to the doctor as soon as possible, but I knew that I had to get my kids from daycare and time was ticking, so I went to the daycare thinking, I'll just eat something and I'll feel less nauseous then. I made it all the way through Wednesday evening as well. After I ate a few things and sat down for a while, and note, I was away from all of the screens, like computer screens. After I got a little quiet, I felt much better, and my sister was with me, and she agreed I looked fine. She wanted me to go to the doctor, but she wasn't going to push me. She didn't want me to have to wait in the urgent care for 2 hours for help late at night. It wasn't until the next morning when I woke up and I was trying to plan for our joint worship service with Cross of Glory. I was making an appointment for us to use one of the local parks. And there were 3 dates to choose from, but it was a jigsaw puzzle of which date would work for. And at the end, I was exhausted from staring at the screen, from talking to the woman in Moundsview, reserving Silverview Park for August 11th at 9:30. Make a note of it because you all need to come to that worship service. It was then that I almost burst into tears from frustration. That's when I knew something was wrong. This pastor is not the type to burst into tears over much of anything, let alone a silly worship service that I'm planning several weeks away. Then I called Dawn in the office, and I said, Dawn, I think I better go to the doctor. And she said, oh, my word, what's going on? And I said, oh, this is part of the problem. I thought I had told you. I fell and hit my head the other night. She said, you never told me about that, Pastor. And I thought, all right, I'm definitely going to the doctor. The doctor told me that I needed to be put on brain rest. The screens were what did me in. Answering email, heavy thinking, considering dates for a worship service, trying to pull together a parish board meeting. These were the things that had sent me over the edge. He also told me to avoid loud noises or any sort of heavy thinking. Oh no, I thought. Sermons take at least heavy thinking, if not loud noises. Imagine my surprise when halfway through a week of considering the difference between Mary and Martha, I was forced into a Mary sort of week. Luckily, when one's brain isn't functioning quite right, it's not the easiest to worry, For whatever reason, that just flew out of my brain. No more busy bee Martha was available. I had no choice. I had to take time to rest at Jesus' feet. I was told I might be okay reading books, but I didn't take any chances. I decided to listen for the Spirit and do my best to write a sermon down on a piece of paper in a way I hadn't done since seminary. God help me read my own notes. Well, me working like a Martha all week long to look like a Mary, stuck in Mary mode for the rest of the week. Three things I learned from this experience that I just have to share with you. The first one is to be kind. You never know what invisible struggles a person is battling. I say this with confidence, knowing that you cannot see any bruise on my head. It happened that the corner of that table hit me right here. And I thought for sure as I was drifting off to sleep early Wednesday morning, they will see this bruise and they'll wonder what happened. Thank goodness my husband is out of town on business, so they won't blame him. No, you can't see the bruise that caused my injury, but it's there. And even now, as I talk to you and make facial expressions, I need to try to be as the least expressive possible because it hurts to smile, to put my eyes up. I can feel it. This reminded me of social media, of keeping up appearances. So often, the folks that I see on Facebook or Instagram sharing pictures of their spouse or their boyfriend or their girlfriend are actually the ones who are having the most trouble in their relationship. Indeed, recently one friend was going through a divorce and I had no way of knowing it because she kept posting how grateful she was for her husband and her family. There are others who have unfriended me over the years on Facebook or who have stopped following me on Instagram, and I've wondered for a time. And then when I reached out to them in person, I've realized that they couldn't stand watching the pictures of my babies as they struggled with their own infertility or that last chance of adopting going away. And then there are the people who struggle from financial problems, job loss, things that they feel are shameful, although they are no fault of their own. And then there was the friend who didn't mention her cancer diagnosis until pretty far in, when she realized she was no longer going to make it and needed others' prayers. There's also alcoholism, addiction to ourselves, and we don't share with the general public. Be kind. You never know what invisible battle a person is fighting. That's the first nugget I hope you take with you as you leave today. The second is that it takes energy both to be a Mary and to be a Martha. Sometimes we read these texts and we think, well, Martha is doing all of the work. She probably needed a lot of energy. But I wonder about the times when the opposite is true. I'm sure you've been there before. Have you ever had a task that needed to be done and you start to procrastinate? It might, Jim raises his hand, me too. Every week when I'm preparing for this sermon, if I get to a point where I'm stuck, I've learned that you can't stare at a blank screen or you can't try to get over that hump without going and doing something else. But quite often, this manifests itself as a spice rack being organized late on a Saturday night. Or perhaps preparation. Yesterday it was trying to buy a bag from Land's End for my soon-to-be kindergartner. I did that for about 10 minutes in the catalog, circling things before I thought, I need to get back to the sermon. Sometimes it takes less energy, though, to be a Martha. If there's something deep that we want to think about, some news we want to share, something we have to navigate, sometimes it's easier to do those menial tasks Do you know what I was able to do for the past several days while I was on brain rest? Still could wash the dishes. That's what the doctor told me. Don't do any chores that are really difficult that you need to think about. He said, laundry, dishes, those are the good ones. Don't think too hard. I have a very clean kitchen sink right now. Indeed, sometimes it's easier to be a Martha. You don't need to think. But sometimes it's easier to be a Mary. Sometimes sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening is restful, quiet time. And even sometimes you get the answers you need in the quiet. This is not my gift, to sit in silence. At my last call, the other pastor led a group for centering prayer. And I always felt bad that I didn't attend, except my monkey mind is too busy most of the time, and I just knew it wouldn't be a good fit. Not a good use of my time. I felt affirmed when our partner pastor from Tanzania, from our partner congregation, came to visit. And when he was describing his experience of centering prayer among us, he said that they said a few words at the beginning, and then it was quiet for a very long, long, long time. When he asked me if I'd go to that centering prayer, I said, I am like you, I'm still growing in this way. And he said, I'm not sure what I was supposed to get out of it, but it was an experience. Sometimes it's tough to be Mary. Sometimes we have no choice. I've shared that this week I didn't have a choice. The end of the week was determined for me, and I couldn't help but be grateful that this isn't my average week experience. I get to choose most of the time whether I'm a Martha or a Mary. I know a lot of you do not get that choice. I sat with some of you at a hospital bedside. I sat with some of you in your homes, and I know it is not always a choice. The third thing I have to share with you is that we need each other. We belong to God, and we belong to one another. I'm sure you've heard this before, but I'm going to say it again. It takes a village to raise a child. Now, I've heard some people say, no, it takes two parents. And I'm going to say with certainty from my own experience being raised in a two-parent household, we need one another. We need each other. We belong to God. We belong to one another. This is true not just when we are children being raised in a household. This is true for each and every one of us. I wouldn't have survived this week without my in-laws and my sister in particular. My life is beautiful in the way that when I called my father-in-law in tears after the doctor's appointment to make sure that he would be there for T-ball that night because I was concerned about shepherding all three children at the same time, that he said, oh, we come to that every week, Cassie, don't you remember? I'm like, my brain isn't working, so no, I don't remember that. Thank you, and I'll see you tonight. My sister showed up just because she was going to stop by my house and grab some things anyways, but stayed beyond the time she would have otherwise to join us for dinner, and she could see that I was struggling. What a gift. And now I name for you that not everyone has those gifts. I felt so supported this week as I received phone calls from church leadership, and I even received I did look at the email. There was a prayer request that Shannon sent out for prayers for me. I was kind of keeping an eye, making sure no emergencies were coming through, and then was very grateful to see my name listed as one of the prayer concerns. All I could do was pray and listen and consider how I belong to a greater community. I feel so fortunate to have that support. But something I know at my core is not all of us feel like we have that support, even though we live in a Christian community. So I ask you, whenever we find ourselves on that Mary and Martha continuum, what if we told ourselves we belong to God and we belong to each other? We need both Mary and Martha, both of them, to live in community together. And what if we approach each day and each person in this way, looking for the divine within the other? No matter what they look like, what language they speak, no matter which God they worship or don't worship, what if we looked for the divine and holy all around us? I know we have already started this work together, and we will continue to uncover this together over the coming years, in our own congregation, in our parish, and in our community. But for today, I wanted to give you a very specific task. In fact, I'll give you two tasks, one Martha and one Mary. The Martha task is to find three people in the congregation or even in the parish that you don't yet know very well and introduce yourself to that person, learn their name, and learn one thing about that person. Three people, and you're not going to get off the hook this easily because I know Dawn has a lot of email addresses, so most of you are going to receive this as an assignment. I will remember. My brain isn't working that well, but it's working well enough for that. The Mary task is a little different, and I feel like I've asked you to do this before, but we're going to make it official. The Mary task is to watch for how God is at work in your daily life. What do you notice? Now, I think the first thing you notice is that you're not here at Atonement Lutheran Church every day of the week. You're not at your home congregation every day of the week. So what do you notice about God out in the world? Again, I'll share these with you via email and maybe even put them in next week's bulletin. But I wonder how our lives and our focus will change if we start to notice that we belong to God and we belong to each other. Imagine our surprise at how God chooses to work among us, normal, ordinary, everyday people, following God who loves us so much. I look forward to us learning and growing together. Alleluia and amen.